From sprains to fractures, get expert care quickly at the University of Kansas Health System. Walk-in orthopedic care is open weekdays, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 to 2, at I-435 and Null. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
Let's go. You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the zone.
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Chris, what do you do now? You got all the practice in? You got almost 2 days to wait for this. What's tomorrow look like for you?
Rest, watch a little more film, see what else I can pick up, and eliminate all distractions. Take care. See y'all at Burrowhead State.
Burrow in trouble again, and he's sacked at the 22. Chris Jones, his first career playoff sack.
I don't know who the hell they think they was calling this Burrowhead.
Burrow, deep drop, moves to his right. Burrow in trouble. Burrow is sacked at the 21. Could not break away from Frank Clark.
No, ever, ever, ever. And I'm looking at the camera when I say this. Disrespect Arrowhead. I don't care how many times you're gonna beat us. Don't ever disrespect Arrowhead Stadium. G-E-H-A!
Burrow looking to his right. Burrow in trouble, and he is sacked by Chris Jones.
So I put it all on the line, and we got into the range, and we're at Arrowhead now, and we're in the AFC Championship again.
It is still called Arrowhead, last time I checked, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Is this thing still called Arrowhead? What does it sound like out there?
Bucker. Snap. Placement. Bucker's kick. He's got it!
Hey, I got some wise words for that Cincinnati mayor. Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni!
You're in the zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Monday edition, Victory Monday edition. Take a little bite of this. It's a tuna sandwich.
Unreal.
A little tuna in a can.
Unbelievable.
A little tuna in a can. Start the show.
That's tuna, huh?
Yep, tuna in a can.
10:04 a.m., Jason Anderson, tuna sandwich. All for the bit, baby.
Tuna in a can.
Tuna out of a can now. Tuna in your belly.
You can tune a piano, but you can't tune a Bengal to the Super Bowl again. I don't know. I wasn't up nearly as late as you were, Josh, but or Steven or Todd or
sure.
Those guys. But it was a late night for a lot of people.
Sure was.
Or Beard. Sorry, Beards. Yes, absolutely. You were up very late as well. Late night for a lot of people. At Arrowhead Stadium. The crowd, what?
Nothing.
Oh. Don't you typically start your Monday show with tuna in a can?
The idea of 10 a.m. tuna is really challenging to me, and God, I respect it.
I'm going to put it back in the bag so the whole room doesn't smell like tuna out of a can. So, man, what an amazing night. It was unreal. It was dramatic. It was stomach-churning. I may have blacked out a few times during the game. I went from the highs of, they're going to win this game. They are the better team. They're clearly pissed off. And they're controlling this game to, how did they control this game and they're only up by this amount of points? It's a tie game. They're going to lose this game. They're going to lose this game. They were up again, driving, and they fumbled at midfield. They did it again. It was unbelievable. It was an unbelievable game last night. And Chiefs win, as we know, 3 out of 4 years. They're heading back to the Super Bowl now. 23-20 winners over the Cincinnati Bengals. I thought the post-game show was awesome. So many people were just busting their butt last night. The post-game show was great. You guys were killing it. Steven, Todd, killing it last night. And it was a lot of fun to hear that sound. Because what that was last night... That was a A year in the making of pent-up frustration, annoyance, some aggression, bleep-talking for 365 days, including another game in which you played and lost that game, and some more bleep-talking. And then the bleep-talking this week. And that was just an exorcising of demons for a lot of people. The fans at Arrowhead Stadium, the fans of the Chiefs, Chiefs players, obviously, the mayor, Q. I mean, there was a lot that happened this week and a lot that happened in the last year. And hearing that from the players after the game, it clearly, clearly bothered them. It got to them. It rubbed them the wrong way. And we can talk about, well, you got to be motivated to play in an AFC championship game. If you're not motivated to play in an AFC championship game, then you're not doing your job. You shouldn't be there. But that extra edge was there with the Chiefs. There's no getting around that. That extra edge was there for the Chiefs. And it's been a great rivalry. It's now four games. They can have the regular season wins. They can hang the 1-3 banner against the Chiefs. That they're still 1-3 against, or 3-1 against the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. They can hang that banner all they want. They still have yet to hang an actual Super Bowl banner. So they can do that. They can claim the 3-1 all day long. It's 1-1 in the postseason. A couple 3-point victories either way. And the Chiefs reclaiming their seat on the throne of the AFC. That many a comer has tried. And last year the Bengals did. But this year they did not. In a year where Tyreek Hill being traded, Chiefs are lesser than. Chiefs are going to take a step back. The Tyreek Hill trade is a mistake.
Shut your mouth, you jabroni!
The Chargers are probably going to win the division, or the Broncos, but the Chiefs aren't going to be able to do it this year because this is a little bit of a step back and they got so many rookies and now they got to figure out how to win with Patrick Mahomes. Good luck.
Shut your mouth, you jabroni!
Making all that money in the salary cap. How are you going to do it? Probably not going to do it. Big step back.
Shut your mouth, you jabroni!
The Bills are the team to beat. Obviously, they're the betting favorite. This is their year.
Shut your mouth, you jabroni!
Bengals are just the better team. They've had their number. Lou Anarumo, he's got the secret sauce to shut down the Chiefs, stop Patrick Mahomes, and he out-coaches the Chiefs every time they go about it.
Shut your mouth, you jabroni!
Mahomes isn't going to be able to move around. He's not going to be mobile. He's not going to be able to do the things that Mahomes does. And if you take away Mahomes' ability to create when the play breaks down, that is what he does best. You're not going to be able to beat a Bengals team if you can't move around the pocket and get outside and create these street ball plays.
Shut your mouth, you jabroni!
I like putting dog food on noodles.
Shut your mouth, you jabroni!
Yeah, it was backup offensive lineman, but look what they did against the Bills. The Chiefs haven't been able to sack Joe Burrow. They're not going to do it this time either, because Burrow has figured out a way to do it with backup offensive linemen before. The offensive line sucked last year, and the Chiefs got to him once. So it ain't going to happen this year either.
Shut your mouth, you jabroni!
Sky Moore should not be returning punts.
Shut your mouth, you jabroni!
Somebody needs to work on the operation between Winchester, Townsend, and Butker because it's going to cost them in the postseason.
Shut your mouth, you jabroni!
Anything else I'm missing?
Chris Jones can get a lot back in draft capital.
That's one.
Shut your mouth, you jabroni!
Chris Jones hasn't had a postseason sack. He doesn't have a playoff. How can you pay him that money? How can he be the most dominant interior defensive lineman in the game if he doesn't have a postseason sack?
Shut your mouth, you jabroni.
I don't know about you, Josh, but I'm not tired at all.
Shut your mouth, you jabroni.
I feel good, man. I got post-game energy still at 10 a.m. I didn't know this was going to happen.
You stood for the entire show.
I did. I'm still feeding off the energy of that. I might stand for the zone for 4 hours. Let's go.
I was feeding off some tuna in a can just a little bit ago. So we're all feeding. We're all feeding
you
right now.
You starting this show with a ravenous bite of tuna sandwich? The second wind I needed. I am amped. Because of what you just did to your body at 10 in the morning to make a point about tuna that originated from a can.
Texas, chewing tuna on the air.
Shut your mouth, you jabroni.
Yeah, that's probably right. That's probably right. There's the appropriate one. There's the actual appropriate one. All right, 913-912-4810. That's the text line. 913-3810-810 is the phone number to be a part of the show. Frank Clark contract was a bust.
Shut your mouth, you jabroni.
Don't ask Josh about that one, though.
Whoa, hey.
I am ready to move on from MVS. He hasn't had it. They don't have the relationship.
There you go.
And you know what? They probably should just cut him at the end of this year, save the $7 million, and put that somewhere else because he hasn't been, the juice has not been worth the squeeze with MVS.
Shut your mouth, you jabroni!
I was never on the move on from MVS.
I was.
Train, especially with all the, you know, free agents still pending and all that.
That was one for me.
That was for yourself.
The jabroni was one for me. The Sky Moore punt return was for me.
That was for all of us. I respect that, but I was definitely on the train of, boy, those two guys just can't be on the same page. I mean, are they ever going to get this thing figured out?
Josh, I've got one for you for Twitch.
Oh, great.
You need to spend a first round pick on a running back.
Shut your mouth, you jabroni.
Dave Tobin's lost his touch.
Hey, let's go.
Shut your mouth, you jabroni.
This is the insert name here revenge game. It's sort of what it feels like.
Really, there were so many storylines about year coming together. I mean, it's unbelievable. And even if we take away the, shut your mouth jabroni, like going back to the Tyreek Hill trade, when that happened, my thoughts on the air as it was happening live was this is a good move if you take advantage of the resources you get back.
Mm-hmm.
I think the trust the process was the right approach. How you utilize the assets is the second part of that. The process didn't work, right? But was the strategy flawed? The execution might have been flawed, but was the strategy flawed? And the strategy of trading Tyreek Hill was getting draft picks back, becoming better overall as a team, feeling like you can still put together a really good offense with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Juju and MVS, and they hadn't had Juju yet, but you know what I'm talking about. And you can do that while also being in better cap situation down the road and not paying the number one wide receiver and eventually probably defensive tackle. Orlando Brown wanted that cash because that was at the time when we didn't know if Orlando Brown was going to get paid. It matters what you do with the resources that you get in return. And so all the way back to the Tyreek Hill trade of this is a step back and a regroup year. They may not make the Super Bowl. Probably aren't going to be hosting the AFC Championship game. In fact, when I picked the Bills to win it, I said, you know, this is the year we'll see Patrick Mahomes go on the road in the postseason for the first time. I think we'll finally see a Patrick Mahomes road game. Of course. That's when Travis Kelce steps up and lets
it's
everybody know.
It's been half a decade, and we still haven't seen a Patrick Mahomes playoff road game.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. But it matters what you do with those resources that you have. McDuffie, Watson, Williams, Cook, Karlaftis, Pacheco, Sky Moore. Chanel had to play when Willie Gay went down. He was in the game in the last couple of possessions. Chanel was out there.
I did the math and the snap counts today. On the defensive side.
By the way, every single draft pick except for Kennard and Nazee Johnson.
Nazee Johnson, by the way, looking like a core four special teamer.
There you go.
He had like 18 special team snaps. I was going to mention his name at some point today if
there
I needed to, because it can be all of those guys.
Yeah.
By my count, going through the snap counts last night, 249 total defensive snaps by six rookies. It was like 79, I think, on the offensive side with Pacheco and Sky Moore. 249 rookie snaps on the defense with all three. We talked about this last week. Say, you know what? At least Joshua Williams isn't going to be forced to play as much as he was in that last matchup because Jalen Watson's been excellent and is healthier. And you got L'Jarius Sneed. L'Jarius Sneed disappears, and you are playing three rookie cornerbacks almost the entirety of the game against the best receiving core in football. One touchdown to T. Higgins. That's it. Unbelievable performance from the rookie class, from the coaches who developed them, from the scouting and GM and everyone who brought those guys in. That's trust the process. And that is a hell of a process. Because we saw it with a few weeks left in the regular season. The defense started looking more aggressive. They started swarming to the football. They didn't look like rookies anymore. It came together at the perfect time.
Tech says, shut your mouth. That is obnoxious. Please stop.
Shut your mouth, you jabroni!
You were asking for that, Texter. Come on.
I mean,
you had to see that one coming, right?
You didn't. You put that on a tee.
Yeah, it was right there.
I mean, I'm not four, okay? I'm not going to just swing and hit the tee, all right? I can make contact there. I'll make some contact. Here's the other bigger picture meaning to me from last night is it isn't just a, okay, you would be 0-4 against the Bengals and Burrow would be 4-0 against Mahomes and all of that stuff and the Bengals, the team to beat in the AFC, Burrow, the best quarterback in the NFL, now the face of the NFL, whatever it might be. It's also a mental thing to me of you were going up against a team that no doubt is your peer, mm-hmm. on that field is your peer, and has proven it as your peer. And to come through and win the game and head back to the Super Bowl while reclaiming superiority, it goes a long way into next year mm-hmm. and the year after that. Because, I mean, I think there are people that may not pay much attention to the cap, which is fine. But I had somebody, I have a nice mixture of people from, you know, Kentucky and people from here, and a lot of Kentucky people, Cincinnati Bengals fans. Mm-hmm. So there were a lot of Bengals fans that were crying in my mentions about the refs and blaming the refs for, oh, hey, by the way, Beards, one more of those. The only reason the Chiefs won was because of the refs.
Shut your mouth, you jabroni!
Thank you.
I mean, that one's true. Everybody knows that.
That one is true. You know, there were two holds on that play when Mahomes ran down the sideline. So three things. Call either of those two holds, and I'm pretty sure you can't really call that personal foul because it's that late in the game. And so even though he was two steps out of bounds and he still chucked them, I don't think you can do that. But there were definitely two holds on that play.
Right, sure.
Now, mind you, every offensive lineman I've seen and offensive line coaches and those that train offensive linemen have all said neither of those were actually holds, but Joe Bengals Burrows, your dad, 175, says it's a hold, so I'm assuming it's got to be a hold then, and the referees are the reason the Chiefs ended up winning that game. But you get back to the Super Bowl, and I have, you know, somebody that says, I hope you enjoy it, because Mahomes' salary kicks in next year and the Bengals still have a couple of years of a cheap Burrow. And I said, au contraire, Mahomes is already 37 against the cap this year.
Yeah.
And the Bengals are the ones that have to eventually figure out how to do it with an expensive quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs have done it. They're doing it with an expensive quarterback. The Eagles have a rookie quarterback. The Bengals, or rookie contract quarterback. Mm-hmm. The Bengals have a rookie contract quarterback. The Chiefs do not. The 49ers, while they had Jimmy G, they have Lance and Purdy as rookie quarterback contracts. Mahomes, almost $40 million against the cap. And yeah, he goes up to 46. But they're still $12 million under the cap. They haven't restructured Chris Jones yet and extended him. I don't know what they're going to do with Frank Clark. There's definitely going to be a restructure of some point with Frank Clark. They have to sign a left tackle, whether that's Orlando Brown. Some things have to be done. But they ain't sitting like the Bills.
Correct.
Or the Chargers.
That's right.
Right now. And they aren't the ones that have to figure out in a couple of years, who do we keep and who do we trade and who do we let walk? Can they keep Chase, T. Higgins, Bates, Bell, Hendrickson, Eli?
Sorry. Sorry about that. DJ Reader, BJ Hill, Lyle Collins, Jonah Williams, Alex Kappa. They have to make decisions. That was the importance of last night's game, is in a year where the Bengals were a damn good team. Mm-hmm. That's the best team. And I'll throw the Patriots of 18 in there. The Bengals that they beat last night is the best team Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs have played in the playoffs. Ooh. This team this year was better than the Bengals team last year.
Definitely. Yes, I agree with that.
I think it was better than the Bills team last year.
That's the only argument, I think, right?
I definitely think it's better than that Patriots team in 18 that they lost to. Better than that Colts team they beat. Better than the Texans and the Titans. Better than the Bills in 2020 when they went back to the Super Bowl. Better than the Browns and the Steelers and the teams that they played. Better than the Jags. So the only argument would be Bills last year.
Yeah.
It'd be the only argument.
Hey, difference is Pierce. We're talking about Pierce.
Difference is the Bills hadn't done it on the field at Arrowhead in the postseason to celebrate on the stage the confetti, holding the Lamar Hunt trophy in their stadium, thinking we're the best team on this field. They're the ones that have to play us. They got to play us. The dorky mayor proclaimed it's they have to play us day for Joe Burrow, right? And the paternity test. And then making short jokes about Mayor Q.
He's getting impeached.
He got toasted worse than Eli Apple last night.
He can't get reelected, right?
I don't know, man.
I mean,
I don't know anything about him as a man or a politician.
No clue.
And hey, to his credit, he quote tweeted Travis Kelce roasting him last night and said that he deserved that, and he's right, he did.
Gone. Damage done.
You can talk bleep. And then you get bleep talked back to you. That's how that happens.
Can't take it.
He seemed like he was ready for it.
We had somebody on Twitch or something last night that was like, yeah, his opponent next election has got all the ammunition he ever needs.
It's going to be tough.
Because he can just go.
You're going to campaign against.
You remember when that guy cost your team a trip to the Super Bowl?
Remember when everybody was talking about the mayor? The mayor was saying this about us. The mayor was saying that about us. The mayor was saying this about us. Had a little bit of extra juice in that game.
Remember when Travis Kelce on national television in primetime called our mayor a jabroni?
You want to reelect that guy? Vote for me.
Hi, I won't
cost our team a championship.
I'm Joe Brony, and I'm here running for to be the next mayor of Cincinnati.
You can call me Ja, though.
I actually think Joe...
Joe Brony would be great.
Brony. Now you're 2-for-1. I'll workshop it for next year.
Well, actually, it doesn't matter because he's not running for mayor next. It would be Travis Kelce, who is now the mayor. Those are the rules. Travis Kelce takes over the mayor of Cincinnati.
I'm not making any jokes about anyone taking paternity tests. I'm leaving that one out.
Okay. That's good.
But no part of it.
You want to make jokes about whether Mayor Q has to wear a kitty-sized jacket?
I don't.
What an idiot, man.
I really don't.
Mayor Q said no thank you to the chili. Well, you know, he's got a sensitive stomach. No! We just don't want rat
don't want
meat
dumb
sauce.
Chili. This was one of the other things. I realized this during postgame. I had a terrible realization. It's that all these stupid, like, politician bets that we've all been suffering through that have fully jumped the shark.
Yeah.
The worst thing for the city of Kansas City happened last night. We're going to have Cincinnatians trying to export their bleep to us.
No.
I don't want that.
I had a thought about that last night afterwards.
Yeah.
All Mayor Q has to do to get reelected is whenever all of that Skyline chili comes in, just immediately turn, take it, throw it in the trash. There you go. There's the bet.
Can I remix it for you, Beards?
Go for it.
Take that chili, dump it in a river. Real Boston Tea Party situation.
I'm not trying to pollute out here.
Well, that's a good point. Those fish and stuff don't deserve that chili. All right, never mind.
Just pour it right down the sewer.
Yeah, that's good. Right. Maybe just into a sewer drain somewhere.
Feed the rats.
That's good. The rats would enjoy it.
That's what it's for. I mean, if they've got nothing else to eat.
If it's literally the last thing on the table.
There's Skyline. I mean, there's an old hot dog there that somebody threw up. There's this over there. There's Skyline. Let's go for the hot dog.
I think I'd take the hot dog.
Let's go for the hot dog, I think. You sure? All right.
At least I know that it's not going to hurt me worse than a normal hot dog by very much.
Eating the old hot dog, Ninja Turtles over there eating pizza.
Yeah, I should have gotten to have pizza with the turtles.
That's darn it.
That would have been better.
With the Skyline and the hot dog with the rat. All right, let's get more into the game on the other side. 913.
Chili will make your insides splinter.
That's right. 913-3810-810 is the phone number. Liked it. 913-3810-810. The
The shredder of the Bengals offensive line, Chris Jones.
That's what I was going to go with.
Was it really?
Turn the offensive line into a shredder. That's all right, though. We were thinking the same thing. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue.
Did the Chiefs get to April O'Neal it out? No. Well, they kicked it at the end, huh?
No. All right.
Sorry, I don't have a fourth one.
But you know how they did win it. Harrison Butker's the foot.
Hey!
It's No Hangovers May with Greenlight Dispensary. Enjoy their flower specials all month long by visiting one of their four KC area locations. Or check out their AI bud tenders at greenlightdispensary.com. That's greenlightdispensary.com.
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson.
I think it's just the Kansas City barbecue just leaking through my pores. Makes me a little slippery out there.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson, Josh Briscoe, and Beards. Heading up until 2 o'clock. Hang out with Field Yates coming up at noon. We think there will be an Andy Reid press conference today in the noon hour. I don't see if we've got a confirmation yet, but I'm counting on there being an Andy Reid press conference later on today. We have tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of sound to get to. Let's hear from Chris Jones on the field with James Palmer of the NFL Network. As you know, we talked last week, the entire week, right? What was this game for Chris Jones?
Legacy game, baby.
This was the game that Chris Jones had to come out and show that he was the most dominant interior defensive lineman this year. Not over the last 4 or 5 years. Aaron Donald still plays. But this year, what he has done this year, he was the best interior defensive lineman in NFL. And go and show that. Because the clear advantage for the Chiefs in this game was that defensive line, second in the NFL in sacks, how many pressures they put on the quarterbacks this year against a banged up Bengals backup offensive line. And by the way, there ain't a Chiefs fan in existence that feels bad about a team that has to play backup offensive linemen.
Nope.
You can shove that, you jabroni. All right. But here's Chris Jones on the field with James Palmer of the NFL Network right after the game was over.
I know you wanted to get over the hump in the postseason, had a sack. You did your business today.
Yeah, I'm not letting my emotions all bottle up throughout the week. There's a lot of talking going on. I'm not really much of a talker. It's a full circle, 360, man. These are moments I prepared for all offseason. I dedicated my offseason to this moment last year when I missed two sacks to end the game, and I put it up on myself. This game, we're going to end it up front. And that's what we did. We got a resilient group in our room, starting with the D-line, and these guys fought through all night, man.
The last thing you said to us when you walked off the podium here at Arrowhead was everybody enjoyed Burrowhead. Did that motivate you all week?
Hey, let me tell y'all something, man. Don't ever, 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 and I'm looking at the camera when I say this, disrespect Arrowhead. I don't care how many times you done beat us. Don't ever disrespect Arrowhead Stadium. N-G-E-H-A!
I gotta ask you one more about what your quarterback did to essentially with his legs on one leg get you guys in field goal position and win this game.
Hey, he fought hard, man. Fought hard the whole offense. The whole defense, though. We ain't talking about the offense right now. We're talking about the defense. We're talking about the defense. That's what we do. And we back!
By the way, I love that. The fact that Chris Jones was like, yeah, he worked his butt off. He fought, whatever the line was. But we're talking about the defense right now. Because how many times in the playoffs and with Patrick Mahomes as the quarterback have we said this incredibly important, monumental, history-making game was won by the defense? So Chris Jones has every right at that moment to say, no, 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 we're talking about the defense right now. He obviously loves Mahomes. They all do. It's a whole team game. But this is one to where the defense can take their Raiders victory lap and there show us some respect. Put some respect on our name in the defense because we know when Mahomes bails this team out. We know that the offense does a lot to help this team win. But tonight, we did our thing, and we're going to talk about our thing that we did. Chris Jones, 2 sacks, 3 tackles for loss, 5 quarterback hits, 4 tackles.
and double teamed 31 of 38 snaps.
I was going to say the stat line doesn't do it justice, but that last one does, actually.
I mean, just the double. He was always double teamed, like almost the whole game, until that last sack when they left him one-on-one against Akeem Adeniji.
This is exactly right.
And well done, Spagnuolo.
You hunt your matchups, you get him on your right tackle, and you get a one-on-one. So when he was on the interior, was he ever not double teamed? I really don't know. There might have been a snap or two.
Yeah, there might have been.
But to put up that stat line, that performance all across the board, mm-hmm. which frees up your moments for Frank Clark and Mike Dana and Willie Gay and George Karloftis and all those dudes. Karloftis, after the game in the locker room talking to Steven, like, he tried to name every single defensive lineman.
Right.
And he's right to, because everybody had a hand in it, but it all starts and ends with Chris Jones.
He was dominant. It was a legacy game. And when you speak of Chris Jones moving forward, I believe you'll speak of Hall of Famer Chris Jones moving forward. Because I don't think that's the last time in the playoffs you'll see a dominant Chris Jones game.
Certainly agree with that.
I think now that he's got a couple of sacks, I think people can now acknowledge the other things he does on the field. We talked about it last week, that last year in the AFC Championship game, L'Jarius Sneed's interception was because of Chris Jones. Chris Jones beat a double team right up the middle, got right in Burrow's face. Burrow faded a little bit. Jones raised his hand, almost gets Burrow's arm. Burrow throws it a little bit higher to get over Jones's arm, and guess what that does? It loops the ball. It was a little early he had to throw it, not nearly with as much velocity, and a little bit loopier than he wanted to, and L'Jarius Sneed's able to cut back in front of Ja'Marr Chase. If Chris Jones doesn't beat the double team, Burrow sits back, fires a dart, mm-hmm. probably to Ja'Marr Chase.
Mm-hmm.
He got a pressure on that play. Oh, Chris Jones, pressure. He got a pressure. Hey. See, he got a pressure.
Hit the quarterback.
And you know what people would say? I don't get, like Teddy Bruschi yesterday morning. Oh, the Chiefs are pressure. I'm picking the Bengals. I don't care how many times they're pressuring. You got to sack him. You can pressure all day. Pressures don't matter to me. Sacks do. And this team isn't sacking Joe Burrow. You can pressure him all you want. Okay, well, pressure don't matter. It mattered on that play when he got an interception last year.
It's a really foolish thing to say.
Now that we can see that Jones had the two sacks, as dominant as he was, beating the double team on that last throw before half, to make Burrow throw it earlier than maybe he would want to, and they end up kicking a field goal instead of getting a touchdown. I think you can look and acknowledge and appreciate the other things he does on the field besides just the counting stats of, you know, he doesn't have a playoff sack. Okay, he's got two now. Is that going to be the next storyline? He only has two playoff sacks.
That's right.
Like, let's stop with that. Let's stop with that right now. He was dominant in the game. He's been dominant in a lot of games, and he shouldn't be known as the guy that Joe Burrow slipped out of a couple of tackles or sacks from him last year.
I think you're 100% right. I think that's a really good way of looking at it. I don't know if you want to hear the clip of Chris Jones talking about not really like hunting for that, because I believe him when he says all of this, but also I think you're really onto something when you say that him having this performance with actual sacks in an AFC Championship game gives everybody else some permission to talk about him being the dominant force that he is with no couching it. Some of us have been here for a little while. Some of us have been trying to tell the people. But in this game, it becomes like undeniable. Yes. Exactly. Beards, noted Chris Jones hater.
Yes.
I've often said this.
Like me after the Super Bowl, that people weren't talking about Chris Jones. We didn't have a sack. Are you kidding me? Did you see what he did in the fourth quarter?
It's
batted the ball down, created the hit by Ben Neiman that was an incomplete pass that would have been a 20-yard gain to George Kittle on the outside, or Debo, whoever it was. The Frank Clark sack at the end was because Chris Jones took the guard and Frank Clark's the left tackle out that was guarding Frank Clark, which sprung him. He doesn't get credit for some of those things, but
whether it was chosen ignorance or genuine ignorance, it was always ignorance, and now there's no room for that anymore, which is a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. Let's hear Chris Jones about the playoff sack monkey off his back.
There's been a lot made by you guys. Y'all make it bigger than what it is. I really personally do not care about stats in the playoffs. My job is to make sure that I play hard, play physical, set a different style out of the line of scrimmage, and make my teammates around me make plays. And whether it's taking a double team the whole game, or whether it's getting the one-on-one and winning. I think you guys actually blew it out of proportion. It don't really matter to me, but I'm fortunate that you guys can have another story. Chris Jones finally got a sack, you know?
Did Chris have your mind at all when you got it?
No. I knew it entered you guys' mind, like Chris Jones finally got it. That wasn't a goal for me, okay? I just want you guys to know. But you guys, I understand the logic of it. 11 games, no sacks, so I get it.
It makes me mad that there are Chiefs fans anywhere in the kingdom who don't adore Chris Jones. Like, it really bothers me. Because if you hear that and you don't think that's genuine, even if you don't think that's real, which I do, if you don't think that's real, that is a guy being the world's best possible teammate after the game that he destroyed on defense, saying, look, man, I haven't been out here. Imagine if the inverse was true. Imagine if a report came out that he's really been in Spags's ear saying, hey, get me on the edge more often. I gotta get more sacks. I gotta get some playoff sacks. I gotta pad my stat sheet. Man, if we heard about that, people would somewhat rightfully lose their bleep. I'm like, what are you talking about? You're out here sack hunting? We're trying to win a Super Bowl. Chris Jones is the straw that stirs the drink. He's the foundation. He's everything that you want, all of the superlatives you could attach to him. And I believe him when he says it wasn't a goal. I also believe that it was pretty nice to be able to be up there and to know that that's not going to be a narrative. But he's been great in the playoffs before. In this case, though, like you said, Jason, it's just truly undeniable. And that is chef's kiss.
I think Chris Jones should be traded in the offseason.
Shut your mouth, you jabroni!
I almost stormed out of the studio.
Let's bring in Scott, who's been waiting patiently. We'll get to your phone calls, 913-3810-810. I know people have been waiting to join the show.
I can't see the phones from over here. I forget that there are people on the phones.
Absolutely, they are.
I'll shut up.
Scott, no.
I've talked a lot, Jason. I've been talking, man.
Did you do a show last night?
I did. Okay. I did. I made a throat coat tea in the first commercial break last night.
People want to hear you. Scott, go right ahead leading us off. What's on your mind?
Hey, fellas. I've got a little bit of a comment, and then I want to offer some praise to a couple people within the Chiefs organization that I've been pretty hard on the last few years. But so going into the playoffs, I wanted Cincinnati over Buffalo just because I felt like Cincinnati had been extremely lucky, and I think you've kind of pointed to this. I remember talking with Cynthia Freeland about the odds of having double-digit leads, you know, and the win percentages being in the 80s or whatever three different times and losing all three games. So I felt like some of that luck was going to boomerang back to us, regression to the mean, whatever you want to call it, just because we are a good football team. And so, boy, after the ball slipped out of Mahomes' hand when we were literally I don't think we could have put the nail in the coffin, but we were marching to really put a stranglehold on that game.
Even a field goal, they go up two scores in the fourth quarter.
And the ball just slips out of his hand for no reason. I was just like, my goodness, here we go again.
Yep.
So I was feeling pretty foolish sitting up in section 341 around a cadre of Bengals fans. But anyway, all's well that ends well. We did get a couple breaks at the end there, and I, for one, am looking very much forward to the refs giving us all kind of kisses that we want from here on. Because, you know what? I don't care. You know, as you would say, shut your mouth, jabroni. But anyway, I do want to give praise to two people that I've been critical of. Dave Tobe, number one, dude. I mean, you let him hang last night. I mean,
yep.
Three huge field goals. You got whatever problems fixed. I mean, I know he didn't want to put Sky Moore back out there, but, you know, whether it was blind luck or, you know, the fact that they've been working at practice or whatever, I mean, he had a huge play. I mean, probably special teams-wise, a play that rivals, you know, almost any great special teams play in Chiefs history. Maybe the Keith Cash block punt in 93 in the Pittsburgh game.
That was awesome. One.
Equal. And then the other guy that I want to give praise to that I've been critical of, you know, for how he handled the Justin Houston situation and you know, not knowing all the details, kind of how he handled Eric Berry and everything, was Rick Burkholder. I didn't think he was a great trainer, but man, whatever Mr. Doggy magic he pulled this week to get Mahomes and Kelsey ready to go, that dude deserves a lot of praise. And, hey, we're back in the Super Bowl, so that's all I got, fellas. Thank you, man.
Scott, I appreciate the phone call, man. 913-3810-810. We'll take a break. We'll come back. I do want to hear from Sky Moore. An awesome interview with Stephen St. John in the locker room after the game. I thought I was rooting for Buffalo because I thought it was the a better matchup for the Chiefs. But you know what? You're going to have to play good teams to go to the Super Bowl, and they knock off the Bengals. And yet another game in the third quarter with 2 minutes to play last night, the Chiefs had an 86.6% chance of winning. Had they lost that game, it would have been, what do you got to do? What do you got to do? These damn statistical probabilities, you can just rip them up, throw them in the fireplace. I mean, they're dumb. But they do win that one. And guess what? 86.6% chance to win? They won. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling with your phone calls, texts, sound. Heading up until 2 o'clock, Field Yates at noon. We believe we'll hear from Andy Reid today. Mick Schaefer, more Zone next.
It's No Hangovers May with Greenlight Dispensary. Enjoy their flower specials all month long by visiting one of their four KC area locations. Or check out their AI bud tenders at greenlightdispensary.com. That's greenlightdispensary.com.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
That whole bit was stupid. Beards, you mark that so we can hear how stupid that was again tomorrow.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, 913-3810-810. Let's bring in Ryan to the conversation right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB here on a Victory Monday. Chiefs heading back to the Super Bowl. Ryan, go right ahead. What is on your mind, sir?
At Victory Monday it is, boys.
Yes,
how
sir.
You guys feeling?
I am. I'm feeling just fine.
Great.
Briscoe might be feeling a little tired,
no,
but you know what?
I'm good. I'm amped.
Good. There you go. That second win.
Got to get till 2.
I tuned into the show a little bit last night, and I was a little too tired, so I got off there. But
you mean you tuned into the?
Gosh,
sorry. Go right ahead. Go ahead, Ryan. Sorry about that.
I just got one thing to say, boys. I told you so. And I'll listen out the air.
Is that right? Is that Randy Travis? I told you so. Oh, I told you. Wasn't that Randy Travis? I'm pretty sure it was Randy Travis.
You're on your own on that one. Sorry.
Said that you'd be coming back, swaying.
Randy Travis nailed it.
Me, told you so. I appreciate somebody pointing out something I completely forgot with the complaining about the refs. The Chiefs had to use their last challenge on a bad spot by the officials.
Yeah.
And the Bengals were going to use one of their challenges on the Mahomes knee was down when he threw the ball. But the officials went ahead and just said, no, he was down without having to use the challenge, correcting it on the field instead of the challenge. So it saved a Bengals challenge while the Chiefs had to use their final challenge.
Yep.
Instead of just correcting it on the field. So they were totally out to get the Bengals. Everybody
Chiefs
knows.
Never get the call.
Everybody knows the NFL has always been against the Bengals. If there's one team that the NFL refuses to let off the hook, make sure those Bengals don't win.